Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Welcome back to the ULG, and if you just joined us, we are talking to Pastor Samantha Lee Samlal, and she is a dynamic woman. She's not only a pastor, but she advocates for the rights of persons that are victims to gender-based violence, and she's busy in the community working there, and there's so much to this lovely lady, and when you meet her for the first time, you'll think that you've known her forever. And that's how she associates herself with you. And she keeps a relationship going. And that's what I appreciate, because sometimes you have relationships where it's just a one-sided thing. And yet, you know, you know it has to be a two-way thing. And thank you, Pastor Sam, for doing that, for being such a lovely person who really loves the Lord. And we can see that in you. We can see how God works through you to show His love for people. So thank you so much for that.
Well,
we just, you're welcome. We just played for you the Oh God, It's You by the Neelans. And we're going to continue talking to Pastor Samantha. Now, we spoke a lot about her involvement as an advocate for the rights of persons who have been abused, molested, domestically, domestic abuse and physical abuse, mental, emotional, etc. And that's gender-based violence for you, all of it in one. And how the journey is not easy. Not easy at all, but yet she stands firm and she continues to work with victims that have been exposed to GBV, and she continues to work in the community. She continues to help where she can, and she is a pastor of note. She's a minister of the Word of God, and she's deep, really deep. And you would think, you know, she's a pastor, and so she's that's what she's doing, but she's also furthering her studies, as we've mentioned before, and that is so commendable of you, Pastor Sam. Now, I said to our family and friends of Radio Pulpit, we have more to hear about you. Don't you want to share a bit about yourself in terms of what you've been diagnosed with?
Definitely. I'd love to share that. So my diagnosis began approximately 4 years ago. I found myself in tremendous pain that was unexplainable, and every general practitioner that I went to could not assist me. So I was referred to a physician. And initially he treated me for gout, and a year went by. We were still in excruciating pain and nothing seemed to help. So when I went back a year later, I was then diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. But still, you know, it didn't seem right. It felt like it was a misdiagnosis, and I was on medications that were not helping. And one day I remember sitting in the physician's room, and I started to laugh because he said to me, "I think this is more like a guilty arthritis," and it just didn't sit right with me. So I asked if I could be, you know, retested, because there's something that is not right. Why am I in constant pain?
Yeah.
I would lie in my bed and scream in pain. My mom, that lives at the front, she would hear me screaming, and you know, my family would surround my bed, helpless, not knowing how to, you know, assist me. So eventually, I got a correct diagnosis, and it was that I was in renal failure.
Wow.
So for 3 years, I was treated for renal failure, but we didn't know what caused it. And I was put on a diet, and I had to get off a lot of medication. And that was very difficult to deal with when you're in pain and you need to be on painkillers. And it felt like I was walking in a season in life that was a nightmare. And I just wanted to wake up from it. And sickness became my companion, and pain became like a language that I began to speak in silence. So trying to overcome renal failure became one of my darkest valleys. No treatment at all brought relief. And every pharmaceutical product came with a silent threat to my kidneys. Every day it felt like I was walking a tightrope. But, you know, just when I felt some relief, something else would pop up. So eventually, my physician said to me, "There's nothing more you can do." I was wheeled in a wheelchair. I became immobile for almost 6 months. I was in a wheelchair. And You know, it just put a stop to my life, and I couldn't handle it. I was dealing with whatever I could emotionally, trusting in God, praying, fasting, asking God to come through for me. And one morning I woke up with my son sitting at my bedside with his hands on my legs. Mm. And he was begging God, please, Lord, don't take my mother away from me. Mm. And, you know, that day I realized if something is not done soon enough, I'm going to end up losing my life. I'm leaving my child behind, and I'm the only parent that he has. So I learned at that point that I needed to depend on God totally, because I was not getting the right diagnosis from the doctors. I was not finding any kind of relief. So eventually my physician looked at me and said, there's nothing we can do. Just go home, get up all your meds. He literally gave me a death sentence that day. Yeah. And I got into the car and I was, you know, I cried. And I'm usually very strong, but on that specific day I cried. And my mother said to me, don't lose hope. God is still in control. So I went back to the very same physician a few days later, and I said to him, I want to be referred to somebody that can assist me. And so he referred me to a nephrologist and a rheumatologist. The day that I walked into the rheumatologist's office, and she was doing her routine checkup on me, and she said to me, do you know that you are currently in cardiac arrest? And on that day, I felt like $1 million. I was like on top of the world. I walked in with confidence, and I was not in pain. So I was tested, and I was scanned, and I was studied. And then came the verdict, three letters that literally altered everything. SLE. That is systematic lupus erythematosus. And I know it's a big word.
Yeah, and I would love for you to explain what it means.
You know, with huge burdens. I never known the name could carry such weight. I was extremely devastated. And the, you know, the years of unexplained weakness, it made sense. The years of pain now made sense. My body had been betraying me without reason. So literally waging war within itself. So, you know, it was my body attacking my organs. That's basically how I can explain it. Sure. The fatigue clung to me literally like a second skin. The constant joint pain, the mysterious fevers, the shrinking kidneys. I was diagnosed with lupus nephritis as well. And my general kidney function at that point was in 14%. And whilst I speak to you now, my kidney function is on 9%. But I don't feel as though it's that low. Because I'm being sustained by a higher power, because I know who my God is. He's the one that went to the cross for my sins, carried my pain, my shame, my hurt. So how can I not trust in him, even though I'm carrying this weight of lupus? I know that my God is so in control. So even though I have these mysterious fevers, the mouth sores, and let me tell you, my memory, it slips without warning, like pages torn from a book that I'm still trying to read. I have sensitivity to light. It makes my eyes burn and my head throb. And then I have some issues now with my lungs, and I have problems with breathing. The sounds that become too loud, hard to handle, that, you know, causes palpitations. And there's just so much that I can't explain, you know. I'm somebody that's usually extremely confident, but I find that panic has arrived in my life without an invitation. And every little thing causes stress, not because I'm somebody that worries, but because that's what lupus does to one's body. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning on dry land. I was literally falling apart on the inside while everyone saw me standing strong and courageous. And, you know, everyone would always say to me, you're such a strong woman, but they didn't know the weight of this illness that I'm having. So the rheumatologist put me on a low dose of medication to manage the lupus. It was a cautious step because too much of the plasma clean, would cause my kidneys to spiral out of control, and I could not be on any other steroids that they would usually give to patients that don't have kidney issues. And too little of the medication and the lupus would continue its quiet destruction of my organs. I was then referred to a cardiologist, and a neurologist. So that meant more days spent in hospital, and it seemed like I was never going to get out of that hospital.
Mm.
So the MRI revealed that I had lupus-related abnormalities in my brain, and I felt it. I felt that heaviness in my head. I felt the weight on my shoulders, and I knew that my memory could not be fading so fast because I'm not that all that old, you know.
Mm-mm, of course.
So, yeah, the stress test for my heart and the pathology results, it exposed an issue with a cardiac enzyme. And the doctor said to me that they needed to do a lumbar puncture in order to, you know, find a way forward. And at that moment, when I was hearing words like, I'm a walking time bomb, words that I can never unhear, words that made every heartbeat feel fragile, every breath felt like a question. And at that moment, I said, no, I'm going home. And the doctor stood around her desk saying, you can't go home. There's still so much that investigations that we have to do because this lupus is running through your body like wildfire. And they told me that I could still die at any turn. And I remember saying, no, I just want to go home, because I felt at that moment that I needed to be home. You see, lupus is not something that people understand. It's an invisible piece.
Yeah.
On the outside, I look fine, and people tell me, oh, you look so lovely today. You don't look like you're sick. And on some days, I will even smile, but inside my organs are being attacked. My energy drains even before the day begins. Little chores like just washing dishes or sweeping my home, it's like a nightmare.
Wow.
My life has slowed down in ways that I never imagined. And I may make plans to attend a wedding or I may be invited to preach somewhere, and I will say, yes, I'll be there. And my plans become failed because I end up not going due to the lupus attack.
Mm.
And, you know, dreams have become day-by-day survival. Even conversations feel heavy sometimes. And as I said, my memory flickers, my body aches, light hurts, noise overwhelms, and stress still unravels me. And I tell you, Ashera, there was a time that I would weep. Not because of what lupus had done to me, but because of what it had taken from me. It stole my strength. It altered my identity. It made me question how much longer I have with the people that I love. And at one point, I was afraid to sleep because I thought I would die in my sleep. And then I was afraid to wake up because I knew I would have to face the day with no strength, with aches and pains, and not knowing how I was going to get through the day because I still needed to take care of my child. And, the lupus attacked my colon. I just went through some surgery recently, but I thank God that everything's okay now, you know.
Amen.
I lived through what could have ended me. Again and again, I stood on the brink, and I'm still here. And I do not take it lightly. Even with all of this, Cheryl, I have found treasure in the dark.
Wow.
I've found that God has been nearing me in my affliction. Because there's a miracle in waking up every day. And, you know, a lot of people take it for granted that they're going to be here tomorrow. But when you are faced with illness, it's really different, because each day is a blessing. You count it as a blessing. The fact that God wakes you up in the morning is such a powerful miracle for me. The power of still having breath in my lungs. The gift of people who still love me without needing to understand every medical term. You know, the quiet joy of knowing I'm still alive. I thank God for that. I know I still have a long road to recovery, but the one thing I know is that God is still a God of miracles.
Amen.
And he's still making miracles now. He's still the same God. He's still seated on that throne, and I still trust in him. I will never stop trusting in him because I know that my miracle is on the way. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds me, and I know who holds me tomorrow.
Amen. Oh, wow. I salute you, Pastor Samantha, really. And I know it can't also be easy talking to me right now, knowing what you are going through inside. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh my, the strength that you have, that you possess, the strength that comes from only God.
Absolutely.
I can't begin to even imagine what you must be feeling. But I must share with you, my sister was diagnosed with Addison's disease. And Addison's disease is where your steroids keep your organs functioning, basically. So basically, you have to be on steroids to stay alive. And I never really understood what she was going through until she sent me a video the one day and I just bawled my eyes out. I was so emotional because I thought, here you are going through the day's work, doing the things you need to do, and we don't realize what's keeping you alive. And we thank God that He's the God that is actually behind sustaining and keeping, giving you breath. Absolutely. But then there's these medications that you have to take because it's needed for the functioning of your organs.
Yes.
And so we really don't, we on the outside that don't experience what you are, don't really know what you're going through.
That is true.
And that is so true. I really take my hat off to you, Pastor Sam. And I just want to know, how do you even find the strength and the resilience in your faith, in your ministry, in your community work, and having to go through what you're going through? What motivates you to just keep pushing?
You know, that story in Matthew chapter 13, Cheryl, where the man found a treasure hidden in a field.
Yes.
And when he found it, he hid it again.
Uh-huh.
And in his joy, he went and he sold all he had and bought that field. I have come to see life like that hidden treasure. You know, you have to search through the dirt and the disappointment to find it. And that's what I do on a daily basis. I look for the little blessings in what seems like a cross to many, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are saying to me, how do you live like this? And the once vibrant woman that we know is now gone, you know, how do you cope? And I believe that you do what you do because you know that God is in control. And, you know, even in your field, if your field is dry, even if your body is broken, even if all that you own are scarred, it's worth it because you know that God is in control. And, you know, there's a scripture that gets, you know, you ask, how do you continue down this journey? It's not easy. But I have a scripture that keeps me going. And I love your sister to listen to this as well because it brings me consolation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16.
Mm.
And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart.
Amen.
Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
Sure.
For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen.
Amen.
Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Amen. Powerful. That is so powerful. Now, Pastor Sam, what message would you like to share with others living with chronic illnesses, especially those who are involved in community work and want to actually do things in the ministry, who want to evangelize and win the lost? What is your message to women out there that are going through what you are going through?
Well, my message would be that when you need to rest, take rest. There's nothing wrong in resting. I know I felt very guilty about not being able to assist people instantaneously, and that's okay. Because you can't pour from an empty glass.
Amen.
So if you need to rest, and you are able to do what God has called you to do, He will give you the strength. There are days that I can do a lot, and there are days when I know my body is now waging war, and I need to rest. You know the weight that you carry in silence. You know the war that is going on in your body. Only you know the pain that you cannot explain, and the symptoms that rise like waves, and that come without warning. So don't allow yourself to go through more aches and pains because you're not using godly wisdom. And even Jesus rested after creating the heavens and the earth. So there's no shame in taking risks. And, you know, just bring every test result before God. Every sleepless night, bring it before him. Ask him to see you through, because he's the only one that can sustain you. Believe me, the people that are around you don't know what you're going through. They look at you and they think everything's okay, but they don't know the silent battles that you are fighting. They don't know your exhaustion and your pain. Mm-hmm. They don't know how you tremble inside or the tears that you cry at night. You are the one standing in the field. You need to stand steady, even whilst it feels like you are unraveling. Just stand firm, and know that you are not standing alone. You are standing on the rock who is Christ, your foundation.
That is powerful. Pastor Sam, really, you're sharing all this, and I'm listening so attentively, and I'm just saying, this is note to self. Because we want to be all over trying to help everybody. And someone said to me the one day, they said, if you are not okay, how will you continue helping?
Yes.
How will you ever be able to help? So you need to help yourself first. In that,
absolutely,
like you said, rest. It's not a sin to
people
rest.
People will think you are selfish. Because, you know, you're putting yourself first, but if you don't take care of you, who will?
Exactly. And that is why I say this is note to self. This is speaking so much to me. It resonates so much with me. And I'm sharing that openly because I think we tend to become so focused on being there for everyone that we forget that we need to just take a little bit of a break to unwind, to refresh, to just invigorate. And I like what you said as well. We can't pour from an empty glass. We need to fill up as well so we can empty out.
Yes.
And I realize that our bodies have a way of telling us, well, if you are not going to make that conscious decision to take a break and to rest, then I'm going to force you to rest.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's so pertinent what you said. And This is for all the women that are listening out there. Learn to take a break. I've realized also, Pastor Sam, that, you know, it's so important to have a clear mind on so many things because there's so much happening around us. And we can't have a clear mind when everything around us is just a hustle and a bustle.
That's true.
We really can't. Now, in terms...
And that makes sense as well. I remember my son saying to me the other day, you know, he was fearful about something, and he said to me, I just cleared my mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And the support from your family, how is that on your end, Pastor Sam?
My family has been very supportive, but obviously, you know, they don't know the full extent of the sufferings that I go through because, you know, a lot of it is not seen outwardly. But they are always there when I need them, and I'm thankful to God for them.
No, definitely. I must tell you, in the time that my sister was diagnosed with Addison's disease, she was diagnosed with three rare diseases. And one of them was myasthenia gravis, and it's exactly the same, where you can't see on the outward, but you're feeling the pain inside. And the other was polyglandular syndrome. So it's so scary to hear that these things exist. And while I can look at you and say, oh, but you're looking fantastic and you look strong and all of that, inside you are being eaten up. You know, it's eating you inside. You are feeling weak and you are feeling vulnerable. But I want to say to you, Pastor Sam, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being the woman that you are. Thank you for what you're doing in the ministry, for winning souls for the kingdom. Thank you for not stopping. And thank you for advocating for victims that have been exposed to gender-based violence and for being all out there for the community. You have a heart that is for people. And that is so evident. And we just thank God for your life. And we pray with all our hearts that His will be done in your life. And I want to send a special thank you to your family that are supporting you, and especially your son that is there for you. And we thank God that, you know, there are people that are lifting our arms up.
Yes.
So I'd like you to also send a special shout out before we have to say goodbye to you.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I'd love to send a shout out to my son, Darius Jordan. Thank you for being my support system. Sometimes it feels like you are my father and I am your child. And I thank God for you, daily. A huge shout out to my mom, my sister, my brother-in-law, for everything that you guys do for me. I love you immensely, and I pray God's richest blessings upon you always.
Amen. That is beautiful. Well, Pastor Sam, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Pulpit. It was such an honor to speak to you and hear your heart. And we'll continue reading your devotions because they are so, so dynamic. So from Radio Pulpit, may God bless you and keep you. And may He always just hide you under the shadows of His wings. And, you know, may His blessings be your portion. May His strength be your portion. May His grace be your portion. And may you continue to work in the fields. And, you know, the Bible says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And you're one laborer that is laboring, and your labor is not in vain. And so we thank God for your life. May God continue to be with you and guard you and guide you all the days of your life. We really appreciate you, and I really love you. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Cheryl, and the team. I love you guys so much. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, that was Pastor Samantha, and she just shared so powerfully about her life, her journey, and we thank God. So we're going to go to an advert and a song, well, a few adverts and a song, and Radio Pulpit family and friends, we'll be right back with you. God bless and stay tuned.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Add your voice to ours. We want to hear from you. Contact us at gospel@radiopulpit.co.za or send a WhatsApp to 082-657-2729. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.